That was a scene of the planning and the resolve of the 6th Battalion of Rangers before the most successful military rescue operation in our American military history. They saved all 513 prisoners of war without one of them dying, except of one from sickness after he was rescued. Only two of the 120 or so Rangers that went on that mission were killed, one in action and one from an injury later. It's an amazing military operation. And did you hear the quote at the end? "We didn't think about it much," he said. The lack of strategic value in the work we're going to do today and the overall mission of the war. He said, but one thing was sure. We would free the prisoners or die trying. Does that ring familiar to the Christian's ear? Does that sound like something that summons forth the heart of a Christ follower? Christ all but used the exact same words in Luke 4:18 when he's declaring the mission he's been sent on. He says, "God has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And this was the resolve of Christ. And we just did a memorial feast about his resolve, that he would die freeing prisoners. This is the resolve of Christ. It's to set people free. It's to go into the world and set them free. Is this the resolve of his church? Is this the resolve of the church that is of Christ? To go and set people free. Is this a defining statement for the people who would gather and wear Christ's name? Are you like these guys did in a military operation to rescue prisoners? Are we, church, are you conspiring with one another on how to do it? Are you putting the plan together? Are you figuring out how to obey the Spirit of Christ by going and rescuing prisoners? Ask yourself, do the conversations in the latrine, are they talking about the freedom you have to offer others? Around the kitchen table, when you go to lunch today with your friends from this place, will any of your conversation be permeated with the mission of Christ? How do we free men? How do we free women? How do we free prisoners like Christ? He created an atmosphere, Christ did, an atmosphere that involved a lot of different elements, and today we look at the freeing part of the atmosphere that Christ created. I'm blessed. I meet with a group of guys on Tuesday nights who speak of this mission every week. How do we set more men free? I meet with a group of families on Sunday night in my life group where we are proclaiming freedom to one another and figuring out how to proclaim freedom to more people in our world that we love every week. I get to sit on Tuesday morning with a group of ministers from this church, men and women who have dedicated their lives to the proclaiming of freedom for the world. I'm blessed. I meet with a group of shepherds here who go on their knees and pray about how to deliver freedom. Think of strategies for how to deploy this church into the field in order to proclaim freedom and exhort one another to do it more and more themselves personally. How to deliver freedom. And my favorite group of people is growing up in my house, little family. It's growing up in Christ, and we're trying to navigate the waters being raised up into a family that will deliver freedom to people. Are you? Some people say, well, you're a minister. That group of ministers you meet with on Tuesday, it's easy for you. That's what you do. Do you think we stumbled into that job? Or do you think we set our sights on proclaiming freedom to the prisoners? And for us, that led us into this ministry full time. It might not lead you into ministry full-time. Oh, it will lead you into ministry full-time, just not into a full-time position. For some of you, as you resolve to set prisoners free or die trying will lead you into truck driving or into nursing or into the classroom. It doesn't matter where on the outward look of where he sends you, it's that he's sending you. It's the mission of Christ, and it's the mission of Christ's church. Are you conspiring? Today, let's conspire. Let's ask a really tough, confronting, but exciting question. How do we do it? How do we set people free? I promise, it will be the thrill of your life. You won't want to do anything else but be a part of the mission of Christ. The minute you taste it, the minute you see in the eye of somebody the freedom of Christ, you will want to play a part in that mission for the rest of your life. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, be our commanding officer, so to speak, today. You're not asking us to do anything you didn't model for us and how to do. I love the scene of Big Brother putting his hands on his hips and little brother right up here following his example. Lord, let us do the same. Let us look at your son, God, how you had him do it. Show us where we can imitate him. God, we can't do what only God can do in Christ. We can't die for the sins of the world. Our blood won't wash them clean. We'll leave that to the divine part of Christ. But the part of him that was human, the part of him that became flesh, that incarnated into this world, he lived in this flesh, God, leaving us an example, your servant Peter said, that we might follow in his steps. Let us follow in his steps, God. Let us hear his invitation to come follow me and go out with him to the world. Teach us to create an atmosphere of Christ, an atmosphere of transformation, an atmosphere of life by learning how to create an atmosphere that is freeing. Conspire with us today, God. Show us our plan. In the name of Christ, we are completely dependent on you for this. Amen. One of Christ's disciples, Paul, was writing the church in Galatia, and it couldn't be said clearer. Then he said it in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is the point of Christ's mission. He didn't free us to anything other than to freedom. He says it twice in the same verse because we sometimes don't grasp this. And even less than spending time trying to grasp it, we spend time trying to tell others about it. To create an atmosphere where they can be free. Now, a quick disclaimer for all of us so that we can even enter into this conversation. Okay? One of those deep breaths that takes you off the hook that you sometimes put yourself on and you feel is being put upon you. All right? The elite forces of the military, the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, they are trained to do things that under normal circumstances, even for normal military, it's not expected of them to be able to accomplish it. Okay, I mean, it seems unbelievable. Just this mission, go into enemy territory, not be seen by one Japanese scout. 30,000 Japanese are in this 30-mile area that they got to cross before the big, massive army that's going to liberate the country comes behind them. It's not likely that they'll succeed. And yet they are called to do something that's not likely to be possible. We are too. And we have even more than those elite forces have. Yes, we have training, special training. We have a message. But to join the elite forces, you've got to be kind of an unusual person. You have to be a believer. I watched this whole movie yesterday just because I wanted to experience the whole thing. And they said some things you just have to leave to faith. And they marched forward. Not with enough information, not with enough training, not with enough knowledge of what's going on. They were going on faith that what they set out to do might happen. Same for Christians. We're called to be a part of freeing people. And yet we can't free people. We don't have the power. It's not in us to make a decision for somebody to choose freedom. Amen? We can't do that, and yet, we march on, going out to people in order to free people when we don't have the power to do it. Some things you just got to take on faith. Some things you just got to do because you're called to do it. So how? How can we do our part, leaving room for God to do His amazing, liberating work in the world? That's what we're looking at today. As I studied Christ's life, our teacher and Savior, and I looked to imitate Him, I read the Gospels over sabbatical, looking for how He created a freeing atmosphere for people. And I saw three things that He did. One thing that He did was He lived out of His own freedom. Okay, He was a completely free human being. And that wasn't because He was God. It was because He was a man living as man is allowed to live. Completely free in heart and in spirit. I also see that He authoritatively, without any doubt in His heart, proclaimed freedom to others. Telling them of the freedom that is available to them, whether they will believe it or not. He authoritatively said, yes, you are free. Yes, you are. And then third, I saw Him expect people to live out of that freedom. No matter how afraid they were that it wasn't true, He expected them to, He invited them to, and He commanded them to. Exert the freedom you have from the kingdom, from the King. And so this is what I want us to look at today. Those three things and how we can be like our teacher in these ways. To proclaim freedom, to be obedient to this. How can we deliver freedom to people? But as I go through each of these three things that Christ did, that I believe we are to do, I want to highlight the corresponding problem that you will face should you accept this mission from anyone you declare freedom to. Because that we have to overcome those problems to even start on the journey of proclaiming freedom and of giving freedom to people. The first one is, you must live in your own freedom. You must live free. You must remove the shackles of sin and religion. Both of them are shackling. Now, there is a pure and undefiled religion. I'm not talking about that. The religion of entering into the world and remaining unspotted from it, but delivering life to it, that's pure religion. That's what Christ did. That's what we're to do. But I'm talking about that rule-following religion. The religion that would suggest you must do spiritual, religious things a certain way in order to be saved. Now, you must have Christ. You must be in relationship with Christ. You must be washed by Christ. You must live the life of Christ. And at this point, I even want to take the must off and put get. You get to live the life of Christ. And it lasts on into eternity. So you must live in the freedom. And here's the problem. Not many of us do. Many of us, whether it's religious shackles or just shackles in the world, or if it's sinful habits that shackle us, what we all choose our prison. Sometimes it's not even an evil thing. It's just our job steals life from us and we think we're stuck. We can't seem to be in good relationship with our kids or our spouses and we think that's the end of it. I've done everything I can do and I'm just a prisoner. He's talking about you too when he says, I've come to set you free. Let me just remind you of what the Bible says your freedom is. What you are free from. Okay? The Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are free from death. All right? So if death is something that still scares you, you have not claimed all of the freedom you have in Christ. The Bible says. The Bible says that you are free from sin. You no longer need it, and you are not trapped by it. Some of you live like you are. The Bible says you're not. And if you are living in that habitual sin, believing the lie that, well, I'll always deal with that, then you have not claimed the freedom that you have in Christ. The Bible says so. The Bible says you are freed from the law. You no longer have a set of rules, external rules, that bind you to a certain kind of living externally. Now, this point is so misunderstood because of our definition of what laws are. There is a law of the Spirit that gives life. We're not talking about that. But many of us have replaced the old law of the Jews with the new law of the church and said that's what we've been free to. But let me tell you something. You can't stand in a prison cell looking at someone in a prison cell and say, come over here and be free. You can't do that. So I'm not talking about the free. I am talking about the freedom you have in Christ. The freedom to love. The freedom to have life. And he who has an ear, just hear. Because I've preached this sermon before, and we don't have time for that one today. But you are free from the law. But if you are still feeling oppressed by a set of rules that you're having to alter your life to, it doesn't give you life, but you alter your life to it for your salvation, you are not living in the freedom that Christ has for you. The Bible says so. You are freed from accusation. The Bible says so. So if you are walking around, and you have to do some reflection and introspection to find this one, if you are walking around with a tape running in your head, I'm no good, I can't do it, you're not good enough, that's an accusation, and it does not come from Christ. Some of you even say it does. You read a verse a certain way, and you take it as an accusation that diminishes you, doesn't give you life, it brings death. You're free from accusation if you're in Christ. The Bible says so. So if you're not, then you have not claimed the freedom that you have in Christ. You're not living out of it. And finally, the Bible says you are free from fear. Now, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? But fear of anything else. And even as you begin into that journey of wisdom, you will end up not being so fearful of God, but finding out He is love. He does say that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The end is oneness with God, comfort with God. The Christian life, the mature Christian life, is the life where a man or a woman has become uncomfortable with anything that's not of God. And it leads them into the life. There's so many today that are uncomfortable with God, and it leads them to things that are away from God. Maturing is learning to be comfortable with God. And the fear of God's the beginning of that. But if fear has a grip on your life, and it does for many of us in many areas, then you have room to grow in your own freedom. You've been freed from these things. And not just that, but the Bible tells you what you've been freed to. You have been freed from all that in order to give to others. So if you don't have a life that's characterized by giving, if you're still in a life that's characterized by collecting, then you are not living in the freedom you have in Christ. The Bible says so. The Bible says you are free to live rightly, to have a life of righteousness. You've been freed from sin, and you can live rightly now. If you're not living the righteous life, then you have not accepted, and you're not living out of the freedom you have in Christ. You are free to a life of holiness. You are free to a life of eternal life. If you are afraid that your eternal destiny is in jeopardy day by day, guess what, church? You are not living in the freedom you have in Christ. And there's not many out there, as you try to create an atmosphere of life for them, that you try to free them, that are interested in another life of insecurity. You are free to have life eternally. And if you don't believe that, if you're struggling with that, then you have room to grow in living out of the freedom you have in Christ. You are freed to serving anyone. You are freed to loving everyone. And you are freed to approach God Almighty. So if you don't have a life that is a service to others, that isn't a beatdown, if you don't have a life that isn't a service to others, that doesn't diminish you or tear you up, then you're not lit. You can even be serving others, but you're doing it out of religious duty rather than out of the freedom of Christ. So what we must do first is we must live our own freedom. We must have a life that is attractive to the world. At the deepest level, you don't have to contrive it. Jesus gave it to you. It's better than you have imagined your life ever being. And yet we don't live out of it. So few of us do. It's important for you to believe in and accept the freedom you have in Christ and live out of it if you're going to deliver it to someone else. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, that's task enough. That's one of the tasks of our lives. But the next thing I see Jesus doing is he then goes and proclaims to others the freedom that they have. Now, here's the problem you're going to face. If you ever actually get in a position where you can proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to people, the problem is they won't believe it. Now, the news we have, you've heard me say it before, it's called the good news for a reason. It's very, very, very good. So good, in fact, that most people don't believe it. You know how we talk about the straight and narrow, and not many people go on the straight and narrow, and we've always thought of that in terms of, because it's such a hard life, it's so rigorous in morals and in discipline, and it's so hard to get on it and stay on it. I think I've changed my perspective on that. I don't think it's because of that. I think it's because so few believe it exists. I think it's because so few believe it's so very good. And in truth, because of the grace of Jesus, the path is so wide and it'd be so hard to fall off of it. As a matter of fact, Paul says about God that no one can be separated from the love of God once they're in it. I mean, you try running off of it and you can't get away from the love of God. I think few are on it because that's such good news that they don't believe it. So very few find it. Have you? Do you want to offer it to others? They won't believe it. So you have to be prepared for that as you invade the world and proclaim to others the freedom they have. I'm talking about authority. You're going to have to say it as if you're sure. You're going to have to look them in the eye, because if there's a bit of doubt in your eye, it's going to flare up the doubt in their heart. And they'll think, yeah, I know you buy that religious stuff, but I don't think you believe it. I don't really think you believe I can have it. They're already thinking that. People who follow Christ need to be sure. It's sad to say, but most people are very insecure in the liberty they have available to them in Christ. They're insecure. They anchor onto a law or to a rule or to a way they live life. And they put their salvation or their life or their hope in that, whether in this age or in the age to come. And it's hard for them to let it go. In the movie, when the shooting starts and they get to the prison camp, we get a little inside track on the prisoners in the hut. Their first reaction, even though they saw American planes fly over and they started cheering, when the shooting started, they instantly said, "They're shooting us all. The Japanese are killing us all." See, they live in this mindset of nothing good can happen to us. I don't believe it. This could not possibly be our liberation. That's too good to hope for. That would just hurt me more to hope for that, because it probably won't happen. So we're all being shot by the Japanese. And even when the Americans get into the POW camp and they get inside and they say, "We're Americans. We're here to free you." They've got weapons up, ready to defend themselves from their liberators. They're obviously not Japanese. They haven't shot them when they could, and yet they're fighting them. This is a problem. When you really get into the heart of people and you get to proclaim the freedom that they have available to them in Christ, you're going to find yourself in the same place. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever found yourself in that place with God? He's trying to tell you something that's true, and you're arguing with Him. You know, have you ever done that with a friend who's sitting there fighting for your life? And you just don't believe it, and you fight against them when they're wanting the best for you. How many of you, I'm looking at some of you, that have done this with your own children? You would do anything for them to choose life, and you find yourself fighting against them for them. We must proclaim with authority. And the proclamation of freedom is powerful in and of itself, church. I mean, that's what Isaiah said Jesus would come and do. It didn't say he'd come and set the prisoners free, although he could have said that because that is what he does. He said he is coming to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. And Jesus quotes it in Luke 4. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Forget for a minute whether they're being freed or not. Are you proclaiming it? Are you telling anybody in your life of the freedom that they have in Christ? It can be said a lot of ways. And one of my favorite ways that Jesus just spoke it out loud was when he said, "Your sins are forgiven. Sister, your sins are forgiven. Brother, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven." Every time I say that, I have a good friend here that tells me, you know, you could say that every week and I wouldn't get tired of that. Your sins are forgiven. As I go around trying to create an atmosphere of freedom for you, for those I love, some other ways that it comes out of my mouth that I hope resonate with you and maybe equip you. Some common things come out of my mouth. Now, you know it doesn't have to be the way you're describing, don't you? It's a powerful statement. Because so many people talk to you with complaints or situations or circumstances where they feel trapped and they just need something that gives them a ray of hope. Could you say that? You know it doesn't have to be the way you're describing, don't you? How about this one? You know, the circumstances you are in don't dictate your reaction to them, you know? The situation you're in, you're not trapped with how you react to it. You know that, right? There's a way to react to this. We have verses for this. God will never give you more than you can handle. He will always provide a way out for your heart. Our circumstances, sometimes we can't do anything about them. But that doesn't mean we're not free. We're not free in Christ. Here's one. You know, the feelings you have are real. I'm not debating that. But they're not right. There's more information that you could latch onto that's heavenly in nature that would change how you feel about that person or about that situation. Can you say this to others in authority? If you're not living out of it, you can't. I had the glorious opportunity to use Christ's exact freeing words this week at lunch with a brother. He'd found my blog and he was reading about it and he writes me and we get this interaction over the last couple weeks and he ends up telling me this beautiful long story. Really, it's a short story of his life. And how he has taught, he has accepted Christ, he has been immersed in Christ's life, and he's even preached the freedom of Christ to others. And he's having so much trouble believing in himself, but he's got it. He grasps that that's where he is. And I said, "Time for us to go to lunch." And so I knew I was going there to reaffirm to him the forgiveness he has in Christ. And as he keeps unpacking what he's doing, he says this. He goes, "You know what I need? He's so introspective and so in Christ that he knows exactly the sermon he needs to give himself. And he says, "I need my own personal Nathan." He had compared his life to David. He said, "I need a prophet Nathan who would come directly to me and say just to me, even though I know it's true for everyone, I need it said straight to me, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" It was all I could do to just be quiet and let him finish. And then I got to say to him, the way I said it was, "I want you to imagine here, because I know why I'm sitting at this table with you, brother. I want you to imagine all the power of heaven above the clouds swirling and coming down into a vortex right here into me right now to say what I'm about to say. And I want you to hear it as if God himself was saying it to you. And we're locked in our eyes." And I said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he sat just frozen on my eyes and I on his. And then I got to say, "You know, that big vortex of heaven all came down here into earth in the flesh, God himself." And he said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Your forgiveness is not at issue here. Your belief in it is." Can you say that, brothers and sisters? Not if you don't feel it. Can you say it with authority? Do you have it? We need to proclaim to others the freedom that they have. In this movie, right at the end, of the clip we saw. He said, no, it's in the speech that the commanding officer says. He goes, you guys are the best trained, least proven division in the military. That's what I feel like the church is sometimes. We come together and we are the best trained, least proven force for freedom on the planet. Sleeping in boot camp. Waking up just long enough to convince each other again. Talk about how true it is once again. Read another story and learn another set of a book in the Bible that tells how great it is. All appropriate and all good. But if we're stuck at boot camp and we're not out there proclaiming freedom to the prisoner, that's us. Best trained. Most of you in here know enough to change the world. You know it 20, 30, some of you 100 times over. You know how to share the good news 500 ways using 500 different scriptures. Are you? Are we? Are we proclaiming freedom with authority? The last thing, and I know we're going long, let me just close with this, is we have to, whether they believe it or not, you'll have to do this third one. And that is challenge them to try it and see. Try it. Live out of your freedom and see what happens. And you will face their fear. And that's the last problem. They will be very afraid to live out of their freedom. The sinner who needs to develop a new way of life, a new set of habits, they're afraid to give up their sin because they've gotten used to the perks of those sins. And they're afraid to give it up. They're afraid something will be lost in it. Even if it's bringing death to them as well, they're afraid. The religious person who has the religious rules down, has attached their salvation to doing things right at church on Sunday morning, it'll be very, very hard for them to leave that behind and live a different kind of freer life, exert their freedom. It'd be very hard because they've attached their salvation so much to that. You will face their fears if you call them to freedom. You know what this feels like if you've ever tried to exert yours. There's people in a dead-end job that's not bringing life into them, but they got to do it because they got to provide for their family and they got to take care of the bills. That's true, you do. But maybe your heart is aching for something more because God's trying to give you something more and you're free to have it, but it's going to require faith. Your flesh craves safety. Your spirit craves freedom. Your logical mind explains why you need to be cautious. Your faith demands risk. I'm not talking about that. We are far from this, okay? Just flying by the seat of our pants and just going out there and risking it all in the name of faith, not because we're walking to God. Don't use that argument because I haven't met many of you that are close to doing that. No, let's try that. If we're going to err on one side, let's try that one for a while. See if it delivers any better results. There is a riskiness to the life of Christ that drives your fear. If you go to your life group tonight and you use the lesson Kyle providing, that's what you'll be looking at. The choice to cater to our fear or to our faith, to our freedom. In Galatians 5:13, Paul states it clearly again. He says, you brothers were called to be free. You were called to be free. And we brothers and sisters are called to proclaim that freedom. To offer an atmosphere to the world that gives them room, that clears out their life enough for them to breathe and look around, that they have options. Options for life. Are you doing that? Are you a presence like Christ was a presence? You don't force anything on anybody. Jesus never did. He could have, and he didn't. He just gave them some room to see, you can live this way. And he said, look at me, I am. It works. It's available to you. All you have to do is receive it. Try it. See if my Father in heaven doesn't back you up. Where are you at in this journey? Maybe you need to immerse yourself in Christ for the first time in your life, saying, I want that. I want that life, that freedom that will last only to eternity. Or maybe you did that decades ago, but you're not about delivering that atmosphere to others. What do you need? What's your next step? Let God help you. Don't come up with it yourself. We're not creative enough to do that. Let God help you. Let His church help you. Get into relationship with people of God and with God Himself and let Him show you the freedom He has for you. You are forgiven. and you can have life to the full. If you have any need that we can help with publicly, if you just need a touch from a shepherd, then we want you to come up here, or go to the back, there'll be one there, and do so as we try to touch God through this song. Let's stand, let's sing. God.